Radio Prague News.
Union leaders met in Prague on Friday to discuss the details of a nationwide strike. Defense ministers of all Visegrad 4 countries on Friday signed an agreement over cooperation in their military defense, and the leadership of public affairs has called on MPs who split with the party to resign. Representatives from the country's umbrella trade union organization CMKOS met in Prague on Friday to discuss a nationwide strike set to take place on May 23rd. Union leaders have said that they may organize an additional union event a day prior to the strike. Further details have not yet been released. The unions have slammed the government of Prime Minister Petr Nečas for its reform package and far-reaching austerity measures. Last week, union leaders announced that they would no longer be attending tripartite meetings with the current government. The defense ministers of the Visegrad 4 group countries on Friday met in the Czech city of Litoměřice, where they signed an agreement over the cooperation in matters of military defense within the framework of the European Union. The four countries are planning to form a defense unit with some 3,000 members by 2016. Under the new cooperation, soldiers from the group's countries would be training together, and the four nations would combine funds to buy military equipment. Czech Defense Minister Alexander Vondra said that this step was an important signal that Central European nations are capable of addressing military tasks together. The Visegrad 4 group is an alliance of four Central European states: Hungary, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Poland. The leadership of the former junior coalition partner Public Affairs has called on MPs who have joined the new faction around the party's former deputy leader, current Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Pík, to resign. Public Affairs has pointed out that in its ethical codex, under which its MPs got elected to the lower house of parliament, the party clearly stated that MPs were not allowed to change their affiliation during their time in office. On Thursday, the new faction around Peak announced its name, LIDEM. Its members will begin collecting the signatures necessary to form a party on Monday. Peak had left Public Affairs in mid-April, stating that she disliked the style in which the former junior coalition partner presented itself. Her split with the party and the subsequent walkout of some of its other members cast serious doubt over the future of the government coalition. However, it survived a vote of confidence last week. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. The coming days will bring warm and humid conditions with a chance of rain, showers in places, overcast skies and daytime highs of around 21 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Barufka, and this brings us to the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Jan Richter. Coming up in today's show, Czech parties have begun choosing candidates for next year's direct presidential elections, but the process is not exactly smooth. Then we'll have the latest news from Czech business, and later we talk to director Adolf Toman, one of the founders of a Czech theatre in Toronto. All that and more coming up, so please stay with us. Less than a year before Czechs take to the polls to directly elect their president for the first time in history, some of the major political parties have begun choosing their candidates. However, both the ruling Civic Democrats and the opposition Social Democrats seem to struggle with the process. The former party's most hopeful candidate quit the race before it even began, while one of the latter party's picks is hesitant to run for them. Commentator Eric Best says this reflects the party's mixed feelings about direct presidential elections in the first place.
The Social Democrats are having their debates this week, their primary debates, yet one of the participants has decided not to run on the ticket of the Social Democrats, Mr. Srinar. So it's a bit odd. You have one person very eager to become the candidate of the party, and the other person is not interested at all in becoming the candidate. So they've kind of made a bit of a fool of themselves this week. And the Civic Democrats aren't all that much better. Their most hopeful candidate, Mrs. Nemtsova, decided to pull out kind of at the last minute. And the two remaining, Mr. Sobotka and Mr. Toshinovsky, are not seen as very strong candidates. So it's looking at this point as though the two big parties are kind of shooting themselves in the foot, and that opens the way for the independent candidate, Mr. Fischer, Jan Fischer, or perhaps even the ex-prime minister, Mr. Miloš Zeman.
Why do you think that is, Eric, the fact that the two major political parties seem to be unable to generate some kind of unifying and strong political figure for the post?
I think it's a problem that originated back when they were first passing the law on directed elections. Neither of the two parties was all that keen on passing it, but they got themselves into a position where they had promised to do it, and they were under political pressure not to be the party that that killed the idea. So they were forced to do it, but they were never really very thrilled about it. And now that is showing, actually, in the process, because, again, they're not very thrilled about choosing a candidate.
How important do you think the political party machines will be in the process? Will candidates with support of these major parties, you think, have better chances of getting elected than the independents?
It depends largely on how it turns out in terms of the implementation law, because that has not been passed yet. And there is going to be, I think, quite a bit of debate and contention among the largest parties about how it should actually be worded and whether it actually gets passed. And how they behave in that respect is going to affect, I think, the way the public perceives the candidates of the main parties. The problem so far is that the public generally favors a nonpartisan candidate, someone like Mr. Fischer or Mr. Švejnár, potentially.
The two candidates, Mr. Švejnár and Mr. Fischer, topped the opinion polls so far. Do you think that Czechs will eventually look for someone consensual in a contrast to the divisive Václav Klaus?
Well, I think that's probably what everyone is hoping for, and that's the way people are going to present themselves. Mr. Schwarzenberg, who is was a major candidate, perhaps the favorite for quite a while, but now who is almost being forgotten, certainly presents himself as that way, someone who sees things a bit from a high position and doesn't make judgmental calls on things, but serves as a moral figure or as a father figure. The question is if that kind of person can actually be of any political significance, because if you don't have firm ideas and the public doesn't know what you stand for, there's a question as to how much the president will actually have any influence or authority.
I was talking there to commentator Eric Best. Let us know who you would like to become the next Czech president. Do you think it's better to directly elect your president, or would you leave that job to MPs and senators? We are waiting to hear your ideas. Moving on now, Christian Falvey joins me in the studio with a roundup of the latest Czech business news.
The value of Czech public procurement sank by almost 100 billion crowns last year, from 594 billion to 496 billion, due to the economic crisis and the government's austerity measures. In a report on the situation in public procurement in the Czech Republic, the Regional Development Ministry points out that roughly 40% of the money between 2006 and 2011 was not used within the framework of the law on public procurement. Orders worth 435 billion were placed by the state last year, 40 less than in 2010. The value of public orders from sectors like production and distribution of electricity, gas, heat, and water plummeted from 119 billion in 2010 to 61 billion last year. The development of the market is essentially copying economic developments and the government's fiscal measures. The ministry estimates that public procurements will develop in a similar way for the next few years.
Production of passenger cars in the Czech Republic grew by almost 14% in the first quarter of this year to a record 349,026 units, the Automotive Industry Association said this week. Output grew in Škoda Auto and Hyundai Nošovice, while TPCA Kolín registered a moderate decrease. Škoda Auto raised production by 13% to more than 196,000 cars, and Hyundai's production jumped by 46% to over 83,000 cars. Škoda Auto kept its market share at over 56%. TPCA slipped 5 points to 20%, while Hyundai's share grew from less than 19 to 24%. Motorcycle production was also up, with Yava manufacturing 374 units, most of which were exported.
Farmers are preparing a series of blockades on regional roads to protest the planned cancellation of support for green diesel and the excise duty on wine. The first protest will take place on May 23rd. Later protests may come to Prague. During April, the largest non-government organization of Czech farmers called on Prime Minister Petr Nečas to hold talks on maintaining tax relief on diesel. But Mr. Nečas, they say, did not respond. Tractors, harvesters, and other machines will be used for the blockades, which will not yet be taken to the motorways. Should green diesel be cancelled, the farmers say they will have to cut production, as diesel is too expensive. Cheaper food products, they say, will be imported from countries where excise duty is being returned in full, and unemployment in rural areas will grow.
The Finance Ministry has prepared an updated economic forecast to be submitted to the European Commission by the end of May. The Convergence Programme states that following this year's slight economic growth, the Czech economy should recover and reach 2.8% growth by 2015. The Convergence Programme is a basic document for a country's acceptance of the single European currency and describes the government's strategy for developing public finances for the coming years. GDP growth of 0.2% is expected for this year and 1.3% in the next.
Lastly, the board of the Czech National Bank has left interest rates unchanged at a record low of 0.75%. The key interest rate has been at the lowest ever level for 2 years now. Most analysts believe the central bank will keep rates on hold for the rest of the year, since higher inflation is caused by factors on which the monetary policy has no influence, namely the VAT hike, excise duties, and rising prices of fuels. Total inflation significantly above the bank's February forecast is reportedly no cause for concern, as the factors behind its rise should be temporary.
Thank you, Christian Falvey. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next in this edition of Arts, Ian Willoughby talks to stage director Adolf Toman, who in 1970 was one of the founders of New Czech Theatre in Canada.
The Nové Divadlo, or New Czech Theatre, was established in the Canadian city of Toronto in 1970. Since then, it's enjoyed several high points. The great actor Jiří Voskovec appeared in one production, Josef Škvorecký wrote a play for the amateur group, and it staged the world premiere of the Czech-language version of Václav Havel's Temptation. Recently, the New Czech Theatre received an award from the Czech Foreign Ministry for its work in promoting the good name of its founder's native country. After the ceremony, I spoke about its beginnings with one of those founders, director Adolf Toman.
Well, it was in 1969 when we arrived to Toronto, and we were looking for something to get together and create something. And of course, there were about 5 or 6 graduates of the art schools, especially in a drama. So I figured out we could put together some play, and we started with Lucerna, which is Jirásek's old original play. It was very successful. They came about 2,000 people to see the show. So we decided to continue, and we started with another show, which was Fidlovačka. And through the Czech classics, we moved to the plays by Havel, by Škvorecký, and the other Czech playwrights.
How has your theatre evolved over the decades?
Well, it has changed, of course. Now it doesn't have that sense of being close to the Czech language, because people can go to Prague, see the shows and all this. But I would say the theater company, the Czech theater company, developed so many friends that we don't have a problem. They still do come to see our plays. And now we are bringing in the stars from the Czech theater from Prague, and we incorporate them as lead roles in some of the shows, and it works too, so it's fine.
What names have you had from Prague in your theatre?
Oh, Smoljak, Svirák, Jiráskova, Hrušinský, lot.
Tell us about language. Do you play only in Czech or Czech and Slovak or even some English sometimes?
Well, I had an English company at the Limelight Dinner Theatre, and I've done mostly the musicals. So I was involved in the English professional theatre. And the Czech theatre was usually done on Sundays. I would say every second month on Sundays there were performances in Czech language.
Today, around how many people are in your theatre group?
There is about, I'd say, 30 people who are really honestly interested in the theatre.
Do you mind me asking, what is the average age?
Well, age is moving up. So I'd say average age is today about 45, 50. But they are young people who are starting getting involved, so I guess it's going to even up somehow.
You mentioned the stars that come from here to appear at your theatre in Toronto. Were there any other changes that came after the end of communism?
We were involved in also politically before. We were, of course, doing shows against the communist regime, and we were involved in Velvet Revolution. We sent money to Prague, we are supporting newspapers and everything. So that all lost the sense a little bit now. So now there is repertoire has changed a little bit. It goes more to friendship between the people. It goes more towards comedy, so people can enjoy something. They can come home from work and they go to see the show and they want to laugh and have a good time. So.
Are there any particular roles with which you yourself are particularly associated, or any roles you've played many times?
I was 90% directing the shows, so of course there are some shows which I like. I like Hrabal very much. All his adaptations of his novels are really great. I was serving to British King, and you know, also I've done Čapek, White Sickness. It was done as a modern play about the terrorists who infiltrate the Morbus Chengi virus, and they want to take over the government. So that was very popular too. And you know, so now we are preparing for next year, Ballada for Bandit, which is Štědroň Uhde musical.
What have been the biggest hits with the audiences over the years?
Of course, the Czech classic always works, but I think that Škvorecký, Havel's play was a big hit. Lucerna we played 3 times already for the 3rd time, and it's always hit.
I know you're based in Toronto. Have you also traveled at all?
Oh, yeah. We take shows to Montreal, to New York. We go to Hamilton, Ottawa. So we played each show about 10 times, I would say. The last show we played, that was the Ostře sledované vlaky, the closely watched trains by Hrabal. And we played it 9 times in Toronto, and it was always sold out. So I'd say some 300 people came to see each show.
What about playing here? Have you ever performed in Prague?
No, we didn't come yet, but we are planning to come.
What's the theatre up to right now, and what are your plans for the future?
Well, as I said, we are planning this Ballad for Bandit, and I was serving to a British King. These are two shows which we would like to do in the spring and the fall next year.
What kind of a role did your theatre, or has your theatre, played in the Czech community in Toronto?
I think it's the biggest meeting place of the Czechs living in Toronto, Czechs and Slovaks. Not only Czechs and Slovaks from Toronto, but also from the surrounding areas. So if you figure it out, if some 2,000 people come to see the show, it's a lot of people. And people do go meet each other, and they know there is going to be a show. Okay, I'll see you in the next show. So it's a social thing also.
Do you yourself plan to remain involved with the theatre for a lot longer?
Of course, yeah. I love the theatre, and it gives me pleasure. I like to direct shows. How long I'm going to do it, I don't know, but I will try as long as possible.
Generally speaking, this is moving away now from the theatre, but what is the Czech expatriate world like in Toronto today?
It's a little different than it was before. Of course, before nobody could go home, so we had to somehow accommodate ourselves Now everything is wider. People who come here, their friends can come there. Lots of young people, students come to Toronto. Opera girls come to Toronto. So it's a little different. It's more free. It's more open. So it's not as much as used to be that nationalism, I'd say, of the Czech crown. It's more modern days, more social and more on a friendly basis.
Ian Willoughby was talking there to director Adolf Toman in that edition of Arts, which was first broadcast in May 2010. We now round up our regular program with our popular miniseries, ABC of Czech.
Ahoy, and welcome to ABC of Czech. I'm Heather Baun, and I'm joined in the studio by
Martin Mikule.
Today we're looking at the basics of football in Czech. Czechs play
fotbal
with one O and one L. If you want to use a strictly Czech word, then you can also say
kopaná,
derived from the verb to kick.
Kopat.
And what you kick is a
míč,
a ball. To get in form, you may have to go to a
tréning,
like the English training, but spelled with a long E instead of AI and K in place of G.
Fotbal
shouldn't be confused with
nohejbal,
a sport which translates literally to English as football. But it is in fact the popular Czech game of football tennis, which is like volleyball but played with your feet. A football match in Czech is a
fotbalový zápas.
But you can also just say
zápas.
A football game is a
fotbalová hra.
The Czech word for game
hra
can also be used to refer to card games,
karetní hry,
or to plays
hry,
such as those written by the former Czech president Václav Havel. The word
hra
is related to the verb to play.
Hrát.
A
fotbalový zápas
is held on a pitch.
Hřiště.
Which of course is covered with grass.
Tráva.
A football match always begins with a kickoff.
Výkop.
The ball,
míč,
is placed in the center circle.
Středový kruh.
On the midfield or halfway line.
Půlící čára.
And then once the ref,
rozhodčí,
a word which is derived from the verb rozhodnout, meaning to choose, blows the whistle, the game gets underway with the
útok,
or the forwards trying to break through the other side's
obrana,
defense. If the team has a strong forward,
útočník,
like Baroš, for example, the Czech hero of Euro 2004, then it probably won't be long before we see
branka,
a goal. Although the word
goal,
spelled G long O L, is more common in spoken Czech. But the chance of having a shot on goal,
kop na branku,
right at the beginning of a game, is quite rare. Nonetheless, such an attack will certainly keep the keeper,
brankář,
awake, and no doubt the defenders,
obránci,
as well. If the defending team commits a foul,
foul,
spelt with an A instead of an O, in the penalty area,
pokutové území,
then we'll see a
penalta.
Otherwise, a foul will normally be punished with a free kick.
Volný kop.
If a team misses a
penalta
and the goalie,
brankář,
hasn't touched the ball, then he gets a goal kick.
Kop od brány.
And he hopes his team isn't offside.
Offside.
Spelled O-F-S-A-J-D on the other end. That is all for today. The next time you play
fotbal,
make sure you're not
offside.
Take care.
Mějte se.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
That edition of ABC of Czech was the final part of our English language program today. We, as always, love to hear from you, so if you have any comments or questions for us, do get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.